Welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, send it to us, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley, podcastalley.radiodragnet.com. And follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives. Unlike last week, I don't have a whole lot to say before the show. We've got some interesting emails for after the show, including a follow-up on a question I mentioned about the big kid a couple weeks ago. But before we do get started, I do want to let you know about something new I've done. For my other podcast, The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, I've posted fairly regular articles and commentaries looking at either specific pieces of detective fiction, like book reviews, or more often, at classic TV and radio programs, whether they were detective shows or not. If you're interested in Golden Age entertainment and mysteries, we've gone ahead and we've taken those articles and we've added it as a blog for the Amazon Kindle, which means you're able to read the blog right on your Kindle and you'll receive the new post as I add them, which is usually about once a week. You can try it out free for 2 weeks, see if you enjoy it. I'd love to get your feedback. Go to Amazon.com, search for The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio in the Kindle store, and it'll come right up for you. Well, now let's get into today's episode of Dragnet. It's the big present.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a burglary detail. In the past 2 months, a thief has broken into 18 markets. There's no lead to his whereabouts, no clue to his identity. Your job? Get him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, December 14th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of burglary detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Bernard. My name's Friday. We're on our way out of the office, and it was 8:05 a.m. when we got to Georgia Street Juvenile Bureau. Sergeant Lindsey Simmons' office.
Yeah? Well, did you give it to him? Uh-huh. Yeah. What'd he say? Yeah. When'd he come back? Uh-huh. Well, did he have it for you? Yeah. Well, that'll teach you not to go that route anymore. All right, Patrick, tell the sergeant to call me when he gets back. Right. Oh, hi, Friday Smith.
Oh, hi, Lindsey.
Morning, Sergeant.
Just talking to Gene Patrick over at Highland Park. You know him?
Yeah, I met him a couple of times.
Picked up a youngster a couple of days ago on suspicion of burglary, brought him into the office, and Patrick talked to him.
Yeah.
Well, he finally bought it that the kid didn't have anything to do with the thefts. He told him to go home.
Uh-huh.
Kid told Gene he didn't have the money to get home, so Gene gave him 20 cents. Kid swore he'd come in and pay it back.
Did he?
Yeah, he came in this morning, gave Patrick 2 dimes. Told him thanks for believing the story.
Mm-hmm.
Then Patrick got the kicker. Kid really did break into a house last night to get the money.
Well, what's Patrick got to say about that?
Says the kid's honest in a sort of way. Did pay him back.
Well, where's the youngster now?
Got him over Highland Park Juvenile.
I better call Gene. Maybe I can give him a hand. I got a couple of streetcar tokens I won't be using. Might like to have them.
Huh? Oh, hold it. If I was you, I don't think I'd bring it up to him for a couple of days. Well, what can I do for you two?
Well, Lindsey, we've been working on a string of burglaries. You maybe got the word on them.
I don't think so. What's the story?
Bunch of store burglaries. Papers have tagged them. The milk bottle job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, seems Hartgrove was telling me something about them the other day. Where do we come in?
Well, the way the jobs look, we've been thinking that maybe they belong in your department instead of ours.
How you figure that?
First off, the milk thing.
What do you mean?
Every job he's pulled, we found an empty milk bottle on the counter.
Okay, what's that prove?
Well, milk and kids go together.
Sure, soda, milk, and ulcers. Maybe your thief's got the bull horrors when he gets into the store.
No, Lindsay, there's another thing. The way he prowls the places, all he takes is petty cash. Just a couple of bucks outside. Candy, cigarettes, nothing big. Some of the places he's gone into, you could open the safe with a pocket knife. And he hasn't even made a move toward him.
Maybe he's a kleptomaniac. Got a lot of them on the books. Maybe that's the way he gets his kicks.
Oh, it's a nice try, Lindsay. If you know anybody that can climb through a 14 by 10 inch hole, you trot him up and we'll talk to him.
Okay, I haven't got the names on my desk, but you take a trip to Santa Anita, you'll meet a lot of them. Jockeys. You guys know we'll go along with you on this thing, anything we can do, but until we're sure that there's a juvenile involved, there's nothing we can do. Anything turns up, we'll be sure to turn it over to you.
Now, look, we're not trying to palm this thing off on you, Lindsay. We've had the stats office make so many runs on small adults that the cards are wearing out. It just seems that none of the leads we've been chasing come out anywhere. We figured that maybe you could come up with some answers for us.
Well, it's a new one on me, Joe, this milk bit. I've heard of a couple of thieves that went for it, but I can't name you a juvenile offhand. I'll pass the word around the day watch, see what they can come up with. I'll leave a note for Hartgrove. He can pass it on the night watch.
Well, appreciate anything you can do.
No trouble. Been running you ragged on this, huh?
It's pretty rough. It's just that we can't seem to be able to come up with anything that adds.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Georgia Street Juvenile, Sergeant Simmons. Yeah. Yeah, they're here. Which one? Okay, hang on. For you, Joe, your office.
Thank you. Friday talking. Yeah. Right away. What's the address? Uh-huh, yeah. No, I got it. We'll leave right away. Who? Yeah, call him. Thanks. Well, come on, let's go. The milk bottle kid, he hit again. The call had come from Lieutenant Ginder in burglary. He told us that he'd just gotten a call from a storekeeper named Monty Derobertus. The man had called to report a burglary at his store at the corner of Jackson and Broadway Streets. Lieutenant Ginder told us that the crime lab had been notified and had dispatched a crew to investigate the premises for physical evidence. Frank and I left Georgia Street Juvenile. We drove over to Figueroa, then we turned over onto Broadway. The store that had been broken into was a small Italian delicatessen on the southeast corner. By the time we got there, the crime lab crew had already arrived and was winding up their investigation. We walked into the place and we met with Ray Pinker.
Hi, Joe.
Frank.
Ray.
Hi, Ray.
How's it going?
Usual thing. Bottle of milk on the counter. You want to check it over?
Yeah.
Come on back here. Thief made his entrance back here at the rear of the store. There it is. Broke out the window pane.
Yeah, not very big, huh?
It measures 9.5 by 12.75.
Huh. No alarm on the window, huh?
Yeah, you can see the wires here. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. How come the alarm didn't go off?
I talked to the owner. He said he's had trouble with the alarm system the last couple of weeks. Called the company and asked him to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was okay. Guess there's something wrong someplace. Didn't work last night.
What kind of alarm was it, Ray?
Outside on the building. You know the kind.
Yeah.
What did he take this time, Ray?
Usual run of stuff. According to the owner, there are about 4 cartons of cigarettes missing, several boxes of candy. Can't be absolutely sure. Says he's got to check his stock. It'd be better if you talk to him on that.
Yeah, we will. We'll catch him later.
Want to wait a minute? I'll check and see how the boys are doing on the prints. Have him check the counter and the milk bottle.
Fine, thanks, Ray.
Be right back.
Right.
Well, I wonder when we're going to blow the whistle on this guy.
I don't know. Can't do it fast enough for me.
Well, then with you.
Hey, Joe.
Hmm?
Look at this. Yeah, I'd like to get a couple of those before we leave.
What are you talking about?
Salami, Joe. Those right there, the hard Italian kind. Mm-hmm. See, right there?
Yeah.
I remember last summer I was up in San Francisco.
Yeah, I remember.
Went up there to pick up a prisoner. Remember you were collecting days off?
Yeah, I recall. I had 100 of them coming.
Yeah, pretty funny. Anyway, I met Dan Shelley up there.
You mean the Irish tenor?
Yeah, he and I went down to Cookie's bar for lunch. Cookie had some of this salami. Sliced it like paper. You could almost read through it.
Oh, that's the way it's supposed to be.
I know, Joe. Anyway, Cookie sliced up a bunch of it, served it with cold cracked crab. Boy, I never tasted anything so good in my life.
Don't you ever read the newspaper through sliced salami?
Yeah? No, I never have. Have you?
All the time.
Just the funnies. Well, anyway, Faye's tried to find them for me. Salami like this. Brought home all kind of things, but she's never found the right kind. You know, they'd be hard enough to pound tacks with them. She got them home. Boy, never forget old Cookie and that spread.
Well, if you can get your mind off food for a minute, and I know that'll be tough, let's get on with this thing, so.
Yeah. Sure got to buy some of these before we leave. Just like Cookie had.
Yep.
Just finished with the powder, Joe.
Yeah.
Nothing. Whoever it was drank the milk. He took the bottle out of the refrigeration compartment. Bottle sweated, and there isn't a print on it we can lift.
Oh, too bad. None of many places, huh?
No, yeah, we've gone over the place from top to bottom. So there, we can't find them.
Well, that's not much help, is it?
Came up with one thing. Maybe you can make something out of it.
What's that?
Outside the window in the back parking lot. Came up with an open package of cigarettes. Don't know if it belonged to the thief.
Anything on it?
No. Fog last night ruined any prints that were on it. Boys have got it if you want it.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a look at it. Looks like everything's against us, huh? Another blank.
Don't envy you guys trying to break this one. Most of the time there's a leak someplace. Somewhere along the line, the guy's going to make a mistake and not cover something.
Yeah, we've been saying that for weeks.
This is either the smartest thief I've ever seen or the luckiest. What's this make for him?
Number 19.
A lot of chances to take for nothing. He's not getting anything out of the jobs.
Maybe he isn't, but we are.
What?
Headaches. 9:38 a.m. We talked to the victim. He told us that as near as he could figure, there was approximately $4 stolen from the store. He went on to say that he'd ascertained that 5 cartons of cigarettes and several boxes of candy bars were taken. He was unable to tell us if any other merchandise was taken until he'd made a complete inventory. He went on to tell us that there was over $600 in the safe, but that as far as he could tell, there'd been no attempt to break into it. We made a canvass of the neighborhood and talked to the neighbors. None of them recalled having seen any suspicious people in the neighborhood the night before. None of them had seen any suspicious automobiles in the area. The one thing that was apparent was that the thief was working in a definite pattern. He worked only on Friday and Saturday nights, always between 8 p.m. and 12 midnight. Frank and I met with Captain Bernard, and it was decided that we would maintain a rolling stakeout in the area in which the suspect operated. 4 other cars from Metro Reserves were assigned to work with us. For the next 5 nights, we worked without results. It was slow and tedious, but considering the lack of information on the thief, it was the only way we had left. We had to be on or near the scene when the thief struck again. Saturday night, December 19th, Frank and I met and drove out to the area. The streets were crowded with early Christmas shoppers.
I'll sure be glad when it's over.
Why, what's the matter?
How many rooms in your apartment, Joe?
3, you know that. You've been there.
Yeah. No, that won't be enough room.
What are you talking about?
Faye.
What's Faye got to do with this?
Hack, Joe. Real hack.
Why, what's the matter?
I got up this morning. I felt great. Faye's got breakfast on the table. All nice. Couple of eggs, little pig sausages. Nice, you know.
Yeah.
I come down to the table. She's got the food on. And I hit her with it.
What, the food?
No, Joe. I hit her with what I'm about to tell her. I tell her I'm going to have to work tonight.
Mm-hmm. You've worked every night this week. What's wrong with that?
Well, that's the way I figure it, so I got a way out.
You have, huh?
Today is Faye's birthday.
Well, you didn't tell me.
It's not good to tell people, Joe.
Oh, it isn't?
No. Faye's over 30.
Yeah. I kind of figured that.
Don't you get it?
I'm sorry, pal. You left me a couple of blocks back on this one.
Look, Faye...
I may never catch up.
Faye's over 30, Joe. She's getting to the point where she's taken off years, see? How can you give a person a last birthday present?
Yeah.
I tell you about it, you're going to give her a present. Only now instead of 30, she's 29. You understand?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, no. But as long as you do, it's perfectly all right with me.
Yeah.
What about this morning?
Well, I told her I was going to have to go to work. I got this present for her. Brand new deep fat fryer. Real good.
What?
All wrapped up. Deep fat fryer. All wrapped up with ribbon. Beautiful. Shiny. Beautiful.
So you gave it to her. Did it do any good?
Not a pound. You know what she does with it?
Well, at this point, I wouldn't even want to guess.
I'm serious, Joe. This may mean the end of my home.
Go ahead.
She doesn't even open it. Just puts it in the closet on the back porch. Doesn't even pull the paper apart to peek at what's in it. Real mad, Joe. She may not let me back in the house tonight.
Well, you can apologize when you get home.
I don't know, Joe. Faye's pretty sore. Didn't even open the present.
Wait a minute.
Not even a peek, huh?
Listen.
Yeah, tell where it's coming from?
Yeah, sounds like up on 7th. Come on. Yeah, right here. Pull up. Come on.
I'll take the front.
All right.
Hey, hold it up there. Police officers, stop or I'll shoot. Frank, he's coming around your way.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Go ahead and shoot. Come on and kill me. Go ahead and shoot me. It doesn't matter anymore.
Everything all right?
Yeah. Just a kid, Joe.
Yeah, I see.
What are you doing in the store, son?
What do you think I'm doing?
He asked you a question, son.
Pretty stupid. What do you think I was doing?
How many stores you broken into, son?
Figure it out for yourself.
Look, what do you got a chip on your shoulder
You're
for?
Big guys. Don't give me a lot of conversation. Do what you want to do.
All right, boy, you called it. Come on. p.m. We called the office and told them that we had a subject in custody and that we were taking him to Georgia Street Juvenile Bureau. We put the boy in our car and we waited until a radio car arrived. We asked the officers to notify the owner of the store and stand by until he got there. We also asked that they make a 459 report. 11:55 p.m. We started to take the youngster to the Juvenile Bureau. What's your name, son?
What difference does it make?
Acting like that isn't going to help you.
You guys pick me up, remember? You worry about it. I got nothing to be afraid
of. Oh, yes, you have, boy. You could have been shot back there.
Maybe you should have pulled the trigger.
Look, son, what's the matter with you? Why are you acting like this? You just got real lucky back there. That's the only reason you're alive now. It was dark in there. As far as I could tell, you were an adult. You didn't stop when I told you to. Now, according to the book, I could have shot you. You know that, don't you?
Killing a kid. That'd make you a big man.
No, I'm just bringing it up to prove a point.
Save it.
Now, look, son. I'm going to tell you something. When you break into a place at night, you're not a kid anymore. You're asking for trouble. You got both your pockets full of it. The way you work tonight makes us think you're mixed up in a lot more thefts than just tonight.
That right?
You ever been arrested before?
No.
Never been in trouble with the law, huh?
Sure. I'm a real criminal. I got a ticket once for riding my bike through a boulevard stop. Radio car stopped me and tagged me. Big deal. Thought they were going to send me to San Quentin. Maybe even give me the gas chamber.
How old are you?
What difference does that make?
How old are you?
You figure.
All right, you look like you're about 11 to me.
That's what everybody thinks. I'll be 15 my next birthday.
Don't kid us, son.
It's the truth, 15. That's what I'll be, 15.
When were you born?
1939, November 2nd.
You're small for your age, aren't you?
Why do you say that?
Aren't you?
It's got nothing to do with it, nothing at all. I can do anything any other kid can do. Anything. Don't you forget that.
What's the matter with you? Is that a sore point with you?
Huh?
Your size, is that a sore point?
There's nothing wrong with my size. Doctor says that I'm all right. Just that some people aren't meant to be as big as others, that's all. There's nothing wrong with me.
Now, come on, son. What's your name? Now, look, you know we're going to find out.
How are you going to find out?
We will. Now, why don't you save us all a lot of time and tell us the truth here?
Be better if you did.
If I do tell you. You going to put it in the papers?
What?
I tell you. There are going to be a lot of reporters around. My name going to get in the papers?
Not from us.
Can't tell you, then.
You mean if there's no reporters around, you aren't going to tell us your name? Is that it?
That's the way it is.
It's kind of funny, isn't it?
Maybe that's the way it looks to you.
Where do you live?
Can't tell you that either.
But you got things all wrong, son. It isn't what you want to tell us. That's got nothing to do with this. You're going to tell us what we want to know sooner or later.
Where are we going?
Georgia Street.
That's where the jail is.
Why do you ask that?
Because I want to know.
Yeah, there's a jail there.
Reporters?
What?
They're going to be reporters there.
What is this thing with reporters in you? What's this all about?
Reporters put your name in the papers, don't they?
Sometimes.
Well, you get the reporters all lined up. You get them from all the papers. You have them there, and I'll tell you all about it. The whole story. You just get the reporters and the photographers. Be sure about them, because I want some pictures, too.
Well, look, let me get this straight.
What?
You say you aren't going to give us any information without the press being there. Is that right?
That's the way it's going to be.
Well, you got it wrong, boy.
What?
Doesn't make any difference who's there. You're going to come around.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action.
ten a.m. We got to Georgia Street Juvenile Bureau. Frank pulled the car into the side alley and we took the subject out of the back seat.
Up this way, son.
It's a seedy looking place.
Yeah, well, it's been here a long time.
Looks like a set out of a picture.
And don't you worry about it, huh? You want to take him down the hall, Frank? I'll check with Hargrove.
Yeah, come on, bud.
Hi, Friday. Working kind of late, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
I got the note from Simmons on the milk burglaries. Checked around the night watch. Nothing on it, so I didn't call you.
I don't think you have to worry about it. I think we got the answer.
Yeah?
We just picked up a kid. We got him dead to rights in a market. Open bottle of milk right next to the cash register.
Where is he now?
Frank's got him down the hall.
You think he's your boy?
Yeah, looks like it. Everything adds up. The entrance, what he tried to take, the milk. All along seems to fit.
You got that kind of a case. What are you worrying about?
There's two things.
Yeah?
Who he is and why he did it.
He won't tell you?
No. He's got some big thing working about the press. Says he won't give us anything without reporters being there.
Makes it rough, Joe. You know the policy.
Yeah, I do. He won't let us help him.
If he wants publicity, take me down. Introduce me as a reporter.
No, that might do it.
Won't do any harm to try. Let's go.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Who am I going to be?
Well, tell him you're Sid Hughes from the Mirror, huh?
Yeah, might as well be one of the good ones.
Son, you wanted to talk to somebody from the papers. It's against the policy, but we swung it for you. This is Sid Hughes from the Mirror.
Hi.
You the fellow that held that guy on the phone in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Great. I read all about it. You gonna write me up like that?
I hope not, son. There were two men killed in that operation.
I read all the stories. Everybody did. That's how I mean for you to write me up, with a picture.
What makes you think you got it coming? You break into one store and try to steal a couple of cartons of cigarettes, that doesn't make the first page.
One store? I got into 19 of them. 19 before they caught me. That's important, isn't it? That's a story.
I don't know. Might be.
A couple of things we better get straightened out here. First off, what's your name?
Better get your notebook out. Be able to take all this down.
Don't worry about it, son. You just answer the questions. I'll get it.
Yeah. Okay. My name's Elroy Graham. That's E-L-R-O-Y-G-R-A-H-A-M.
Yeah. How old are you?
I told you once. Almost 15.
You said you'd broken into 19 stores. Is that right?
Yeah. 19. Might have made it more, but something went wrong tonight. Had trouble with the burglar alarm. Thought I'd turned it off. Bad mistake. He's still working. It wasn't for that. Guess it only takes one, though, huh, Mr. Hughes?
Yeah, I guess so.
You want to tell us why you did it?
What?
You had to have a reason for committing these robberies. You want to tell us what it was?
Sure. Good reason. Real good.
All right, tell us.
Well, you see, I always had trouble at school. Never seemed to quite make it. All the guys liked me. They all did. All the girls do, too. Got girls calling me almost every night, asking me to take them to dances, stuff like that. I don't go much for stuff like that. You can understand, can't you, Mr. Hughes?
Go ahead, Elroy.
Well, they wanted me for all the teams, football, basketball. All the time asking me to play. But I figure if you want to get ahead in the world, you got to have an aim. Someplace where you want to get. Figure out that. Work for it and you're going to get there. Don't you find that true, Mr. Hughes?
Go ahead.
That's the way it was with me. All the time turning down offers to be on some team. Telling some girl that I couldn't take her to a dance. Just didn't have the time. Somehow I just couldn't make it. You can understand it. You've been around, you know all the successful kind of people. You write something and a lot of people read it. You know what I mean. Don't you? Well, what's the matter? Something wrong? I'm trying to tell you what happened. I'm giving it to you straight. What's the matter?
Now you want to tell us the truth, Elroy?
What?
I don't know why you're trying to sell us this line, boy. It isn't necessary. I don't know why you did what you did, but I do know you had a reason for it. Now, that's all we want to know, just the reason.
You don't believe me?
Afraid not.
How about you?
No, son, I don't.
Mr. Hughes?
No.
Can't even lie right. Can't even tell a lie good. All my life I've been trying to be like other kids. All the time getting beat up, getting left out of things. You know why? Do you know?
Go ahead, son.
Big reason. Biggest reason in the world. Because I'm almost 15 years old and I'm 4'7" tall. 4'7". Weight 97 pounds. That ain't very big, not big enough. All the time, other kids shoving you around. All the time you're the joke. Gets to the time when you figure it's easy to laugh too, because if you don't, some kid's gonna beat you up. Get to the point where you don't care anymore. I used to clip out those coupons and send them in. Get the books back on how to build myself up. Worked at it. Didn't do nothing for me. I was still 4'7" and weighed 97 pounds. All the stuff I took didn't do no good. Still came out 4'7", 97 pounds.
All right, son. You want to tell us about the burglaries?
I did it to be big, that's why. I had the things other people wanted, cigarettes, candy, the other things kids wanted. I had all that stuff that the other kids wanted. Made me important. Don't you see that? You gotta understand it, Mr. Hughes. That's why I wanted my picture in the paper. That's why I wanted the story. So the kids would know that I'd done something big. So they know.
All right, son. It's gonna be all right here.
No, it isn't. Like everything else I tried to do, I loused it up. I didn't mean to steal, but it was the only thing to do. The only way I had.
Now, wasn't there some other?
No. No, there wasn't. All the time the other kids laughing. All the time talking. I just couldn't stand it anymore. I just couldn't.
Here you go.
Thanks. You can understand it, can't you? It makes sense.
What's that, son?
Wasn't so much the kid saying I was little.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to think I was small.
A.M. We contacted the parents of the Graham boy and asked them to come down to the station. We talked to them for an hour and tried to fill them in. In view of the fact that the parents of the subject were responsible persons, the boy was booked for violation of Section 459 PC, delinquent, and he was released to his parents pending his hearing in juvenile court. 5 days passed and we heard nothing from the boy. On December 24th, Frank and I checked into the office.
Friday?
Yeah, Earl.
Kid in the back wants to see you and Smith.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Mr. Friday.
Well, hello, Roy. What can we do for you?
Well, I guess you think it's kind of funny.
What's that?
I want to tell you that I sure think it's good what you did for me. Helped me with that burglary thing the other night.
Well, it isn't over yet, son. The court still has to make a decision on it.
Yeah. But what you did to make me feel better. As far as I'm concerned, whatever the judge decides, I'll go along with it. I had a long talk with my folks. So we got it all talked out. All the way talked out.
Well, that's good, son.
We're glad of it, son.
Maybe you guys won't like it. I mean, me knowing you such a short time and all. But I wanted to bring you these. Merry Christmas.
Well, that's awful nice of you, all right, but it isn't necessary.
I want to give them to you anyway. For what you did for me.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, all right. Sure appreciate it.
A couple of packages of cigarettes. Hope they're the kind you smoke.
Yeah, son, they'll be fine.
Thanks, son.
Well, see you guys around, huh?
Yeah, sure, son.
Just one more thing, Sergeant.
Yeah, son?
Just thought you'd like to know.
Yeah, what's that?
I didn't steal those.
The story you have just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On the 21st of December, a petition was filed in juvenile court on behalf of the subject. On January 26th, trial was held in Department 52 of Juvenile Court, State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial. Elroy Merton Graham appeared before the juvenile court where he admitted the alleged burglaries. At this time, under the counsel of the judge of the juvenile court, the subject was placed under the care of the probation department for a period of 3 years, with the provision that his parents take him to a competent psychiatrist.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget your letter carrier when he makes a special trip to call on you for muscular dystrophy. Reach in your pocket. Give for muscular dystrophy.
You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Jack Crucian, Olin Soule, Sammy Ogg. Script by John Robinson. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking.
Watch an entirely new Dragnet case history each week on your local NBC television station. Please check your newspaper for the day and time.
Hear Merrill Muller and the news next on the NBC Radio Network.
Welcome back. Well, a number of observations on the episode. This was interesting because we kind of saw some intra-police force tension. Because the way that Webb delivered that line to the police officer in juvenile, it was almost the same tone as he's talked to drug dealers in other episodes. I also learned that Frank Smith's wife has the same birth date as one of my older brothers, which I guess is sort of random thought. Overall, this episode is reminiscent of others that have dealt with disgruntled loners, particularly young people, with kind of a sympathetic eye, like in the 1960s Dragnet burglary episode with Tim Donnelly. I didn't get curious about our child star of this week's show, Sammy Ogg, who had a very active acting career on television, mostly, though also in some pictures as well. He was very popular on The Adventures of Spin and Marty, playing the role of Joe. He made several guest appearances, a wide variety of different shows. The Schlitz Playhouse, Wagon Train, Maverick, was really all over the place. I Love Lucy. He did more guest appearances on Dragnet than anywhere else, according to IMDb. His first episode, he played Stanley Johnstone in A 22 Rifle for Christmas back in 1952. Also, according to IMDb, this particular episode of Dragnet came to television in 1954, and Sammy Ogg reprised the same role. On radio, he got kind of an impressive list of programs. In addition to Dragnet on radio, Hallmark Playhouse, The Railroad Hour, Lux Radio Theater, and Beulah, and Gunsmoke, Suspense, R. Miss Brooks, and The Six Shooter. He stepped in for guest spots on some of the most popular shows of all time. He did not become an actor as an adult. 3 years after his last acting appearance, and it was on another episode of Dragnet in 1959, he took over his first pastorate in the Foursquare denomination. And last I've been able to ascertain, he pretty much lived a life out of the public spotlight and has since retired from his active ministry. Though he, I did find report of him going to an I Love Lucy convention in 2007. Which is a little odd because he only made one appearance. So add Sammy Ogg to the list of living people I'd like to somehow get to interview. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback. Robin writes regarding my question about the explorers on the Big Kid and what other activities were going on in Los Angeles. Writes, prior to the establishment of the explorers in 1973, the Boy Scouts had what they called the Law Enforcement Unit. The Los Angeles unit number was 800. As of at least 1969. I can't find anything about it except that Jim Essen, who was a neighbor of Sharon Tate's, was a law enforcement unit member. Winfred Chapman, Mrs. Tate's maid, had run over to the Essen house after she discovered the body of Miss Tate and the other Manson victims. Jim called the LAPD while his parents tried to calm Mrs. Chapman. Vincent Buglosi refers to this in Helter Skelter. Well, thanks so much, Robin. Glad to learn more about the history of that sort of organization. We have this comment from M's father. I just picked up this podcast earlier this week. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I'm really pleased I found it. Adam adds so much to the podcast with his pre- and post-podcast commentary. Now it is a ritual to listen to a different Adam Graham podcast before bed. Thanks, Adam, for making Dragnet even better. Well, thanks so much. And then we've got a great show. Thanks so much, Adam. You rock. And thank you for doing this podcast. I truly enjoy it during the day. Well, thank you very much for your kind comments. We'll be back next week with another episode of Dragnet on the Radio. Also on Wednesday, we will be bringing you another Dragnet episode via television. This one is The Big Actor, and the last screen appearance by Barton Yarbrough as he plays Ben Romero. If you're only getting audio episodes and would like to get video episodes of Dragnet, be sure, if you're following us in iTunes, to switch the podcast subscription. Search for Old Time Dragnet and switch to the one that's in the performing arts category. But in the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodragnet. Excuse me, facebook.radiodragnet.com. Andrew Rhines edits our sound, and you can follow his podcast at otrwesterns.com. Ken Curlin provides our opening theme music. His website is KenCurlin.com, and that's Curlin with a U. From Boise, Idaho, though, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.